All right, let's open our Bibles tonight to the book of Jude, which is the next to the last book of the Bible, the book of Jude. And chapter 1, please. All right, just making sure. Yeah, let's look at the first chapter, all right? We'll begin reading in verse 1, and we'll read down through verse 8, beginning in verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. I like that word, preserved. That's a good word. When I was a kid, my grandfather always had a huge garden. It was it was his life from the first of April, middle of March. Soon as the ground thawed, he went and got these two big old Clydesdale horses off of a fellow that lived out the way from us, and he would plow that garden with a walk behind plow in those two Clydesdales. And then he would just work day and way early in the morning till the sun went down in that garden all year long. And he would grow some of the stuff, and that's what we ate. We canned it. We froze stuff. Constant. Everything that was grown was put up, and he would you could preserve just about anything. My grandfather could. He could preserve just about anything. He could keep it to where in the middle of the winter you go get a jar and you open that jar and it's just like you were eating it in July when he picked it off the vine. All right, just absolutely amazing. And I want you to notice that we are preserved in Jesus Christ. I'm thankful my salvation is not based on a foot race between me and the devil to the pearly gates. I am preserved in Christ. All right? And called, the last two words of that verse. Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, why? Well, here's the reason that we should earnestly contend for the faith. For there are certain men crept in unawares. Now, you know what unawares means. That means nobody saw them come in. They just slipped in. Certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. You know, I have a feeling old Jude would not be very popular today. I just don't know how well he'd be received. Do you? Verse 8, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. All right, we're going to stop reading right there. I probably should go ahead and just read all 25 verses to you, but I'll stop reading right there. And I want to focus really on verse 4, and I want to pull something out of this fourth verse and speak to you tonight, a message that I have entitled, Changing the Boundary Line. Changing the Boundary Line. Now, you'll see why I'm entitling the sermon with that in just a few moments. But I want to speak to you tonight on changing the boundary line. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to help us and end the message. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you now and ask for your richest blessings to be upon the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, we need your help tonight. I pray that the Spirit of God will do what I cannot do. I cannot teach these things and sow them into the hearts of men. Lord, you have to do that. And I pray that you will, Lord, help us to understand and to see what the devil is up to. And I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit will just enable me to say what I need to say tonight. And I pray that every heart will be attentive. And Lord, for what you do in our hearts, we will eternally be thankful. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. Last Tuesday night, we had our monthly men's council meeting, and I shared these verses with our church board. And as the week progressed, I just could not get these words off my mind. So I thought that I would speak on them tonight. Let me just tell you a little something about Jude. Jude was a half-brother of our Savior. Joseph and Mary were his mom and dad. He was a half-brother to the Lord Jesus. Now, we know that the Lord Jesus was Mary's firstborn son. That means that Jude was our Lord's little brother. Would you just think about that for a moment? He was our Lord's little brother. But I want you to look at verse 1, and I want you to notice the humility that our Lord's little brother uses when he introduces himself in this book. He does not call himself the brother of Jesus. He calls himself the brother of James. James was another of the brothers that was born to Joseph and Mary. And he does not call himself a brother or even a half-brother. He identifies himself as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, what a heart this man must have had. Now, the whole reason for the book of Jude is to give us a description of the apostasy that would creep into the church before the Lord Jesus returns to call the church back to heaven. Now, if you are relatively new to the Lord or relatively new to this church, I just uttered a word that you may not have heard before. Apostasy. What does that word mean? It is a great big word, and we don't use it much. So let me take a second and make sure that everybody here understands what the word apostasy means. The word literally means this. It means to fall away. To fall away. When used in connection with the church, the idea is that Jude was telling us about a time, about a day, when the church would fall away from the principles and the foundation upon which it was built. That's apostasy. There is a difference between in the religious realm. There is a difference between apostasy and a cult. A cult, C-U-L-T, was never on the right foundation. And thus, it is identified as a cult. But apostasy is when something was on the right foundation, and yet over time, it falls away from its founding principles. And so that's the idea behind behind the word apostasy. And folks, we are certainly witnessing in these days in which we live today, we are witnessing the church apostatize all over the world. You just think about it. Back 100 years ago, you could go into just about any mainline denominational church in America, and you would be assured that you would hear the gospel clearly proclaimed. The only differences between churches years ago was the name that was on the outside. 100-150 years ago, the only difference was the name that was on the outside of the church. It may say Methodist, or it may say Presbyterian, or it may say Episcopal, or it may say Lutheran. All that really didn't matter. You went in that church and you heard a preacher get up. Now, he may have worn his pajamas while he was preaching. All right? He may have had his collar turned around backwards. You and I wouldn't necessarily like that. But when he stood to preach, he believed the gospel that he was preaching, and he believed the Bible that he was preaching out of, and he proclaimed the gospel message with clarity, with power, and with might. Some of the greatest preachers that I have their sermons in my library, and some of the greatest preachers back 100-150 years ago were Methodist preachers, were Presbyterian preachers. And I can sit down today and take their sermons from 100 years ago, from 150 years ago, read those sermons and not find one fault in anything that they had to say. But that's not the case today. We are certainly not seeing that today. What has happened? I'll tell you what's happened. Apostasy has crept in to our churches. Many of you left a denominational church, and you came here because the church that you were in had fallen away from the Bible and had fallen away from proclaiming the truth of God's Word. Now, the question that we need to ask ourselves is this: how does anything apostatize? How does a nation apostatize? How does a church apostatize? How does a denomination apostatize? Well, Jude tells us, you will read in this fourth verse, that there were certain men that crept in unawares. And that's how it happens. That's how it happens. These creeps turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, Jude says. Now, there's another great big old 50-cent word. Lasciviousness. What in the world does that mean? Well, I did some checking on that word. I looked it up, and here's what I found. The word lascivious, if you look it up in your English dictionary, it means this. It means without restraint. without restraint. We don't use the word very much today, but a couple of hundred years ago, the word lascivious and lasciviousness was what was in everybody's vocabulary. You did not want to be identified as a lascivious individual. You did not want to be called lascivious in your behavior. Today, we would use a more gentler word. We would say, for example, we would use the word loose. Loose. A woman who cannot restrain her passions used to be called lascivious. But today, one would say, oh, she's a loose woman. What are you saying? You're saying she has no restraints. You see these musicians on TV. You see these pop stars and these rap singers and these rock and roll artists and these Hollywood movie stars and all these shows and all these programs on TV in the evenings at 7 and 6:30 and 7 o'clock. And all they do is report on who divorced who this week and who married who is marrying who next week. And they tell you about their behavior at the Emmys and their behavior at this program and that program. And that lasciviousness, that life without restraint, is just broadcast like it's something wonderful. And as I was studying this word, there was another definition. There was another idea behind the word. And that other idea is this. Lascivious and lasciviousness means, you ready? To change the boundary. To change the boundary. And Jude tells us that this is what apostates do. They change the boundary. Now, the question that I asked was this. Who set the boundary? God did. It's right here in the book. Now, I know our world today says, well, we don't believe in the Bible. We don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. Well, my friend, God says it is. And God said that heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. I'm going to take God's word on this matter. I believe with all my heart that the book that I have in my hand is God's boundary for mankind. God set the boundary. Right here in the Word of God is where you and I will find the boundary lines that God has set for living life. And Jude says these creeps have now come along and they have decided that they don't like God's old boundary lines. They don't like the lines that God has set. And so they are changing the boundaries. And that, my friends, is apostasy. That's what apostasy is. And this is what we're seeing every single day on the news in our country. We are watching the Obama administration change the boundary lines every day. Isn't it amazing? Every day there is a new story. I mean, I can remember under Bush, it was once every 2 or 3 months. And when he changed the boundary lines, I remember thinking, ooh, I don't like this. But now we've got one who has decided he wants to fundamentally transform America and take us away from our foundation and change the boundary lines which God has already set. And it's an everyday occurrence. And we know that it's destroying our country. We know it. And the moral majority of this country is so upset because we feel powerless to do anything to stop it. Man, I've written letters to my congressmen. I have called their offices. I have preached on it. It's all over the internet, some of the things that I've said. It's unreal. And nobody seems to care. Isn't it amazing? We have a constitution that sets the boundary for this nation. But the Obama White House is purposely changing the boundary lines. And we should not be surprised that this is happening because Jesus said it was going to happen, and Paul said it was going to happen, and John said it was going to happen, and Jude said in his book that it is going to happen. And it's happening. And we should not be surprised that it's happening because they said it would. So you say, well, Pastor, how will it end? I'll tell you how it's going to end. It's going to end the same way that it ended for the Egyptians in verse 5. I'll tell you how it's going to end. It's going to end the same way it ended for the angels who rebelled with Satan in verse 6. I tell you how it's going to end. It's going to end the same way that it ended for Sodom and Gomorrah in verse 7. And folks, listen, if God does not judge what is going on in this country of ours, then he's going to have to resurrect all those people in Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize to them. That's how bad I think it is. Make no mistake about it, folks. America is in trouble with God. Make no mistake about it. This world that we live in is in trouble with God. And if you remember in the law, God told the children of Israel not to remove the ancient landmarks. What were landmarks? Boundaries. And God said, don't remove them. In other words, don't mess with the boundaries. And Jude tells us about this apostasy. Now, let me give you two things tonight. First, the church has changed the boundaries set by God. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to me tonight. I'm gonna try and explain to you how this has happened. When God's Holy Spirit finished giving the scriptures to the church in the book of the Revelation, in Revelation chapter 22, God's Holy Spirit led the Apostle John to write that men were not to add to or to take away from the scriptures. Very clear. Do not add to the scriptures and do not take away from the scriptures. And yet, a bunch of creeps have sneaked into the church wearing the mask of education and have filled now churches everywhere with quote-unquote Bibles that are not Bibles, but they say they are. And they have filled these churches with quote-unquote Bibles that have done just exactly what the Holy Spirit told John in Revelation 22 that men were not to do. Don't add to it and don't take away from it. They have taken out hundreds, literally hundreds of verses from the Word of God. They have changed the things that they did not agree with. They have deleted those things that they did not like. And most of the deletions have had to do with the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, folks, you can very clearly look at your Bible and see in the end of verse 4, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And what these Bibles, quote unquote, with Bibles with a small b, what these Bibles have done is they have deleted, omitted, and taken out multitudes of times, hundreds of times, anything having to do with the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sad. Sad. And what we are seeing today is a result of them changing the boundaries. Where did I say the boundary was? It's right here in this book. And what did these apostates do? They turned right around and they messed with the book, with the boundary. You can go into the average church in America today and not one thing about the gospel of Jesus Christ will be heard. Oh, you'll hear about how we're not to judge one another. We're not to sit in judgment. You will hear about social issues and how words can hurt people's feelings. And you will hear about how Christians ought to love one another and will be given a bunch of touchy-feely, feel-good stuff, but there'll be no gospel. No gospel. Where's the gospel? Churches all over the country are changing the boundary. You know, folks, nobody cares what the Bible says anymore. Nobody cares. Nobody looks at the sermon that they're listening to through the prism of the Scriptures. You know what I believe? I believe with all my heart, if I ever walked in here one Sunday and stood up and preached something that was in opposition to what is in this Bible, I dare say that I would not get through the message before somebody called me on it. I would hope that would be the case. I mean, the Bible is our boundary, but nobody cares today. Nobody looks at the music through the prism of the Scriptures. Nobody looks at the eternal condition of their own soul through the prism of the Word of God. And folks have allowed these denominations to change the boundary. These creeps came in and they moved the boundary and nobody said anything about it. Back 50 years ago, when the denominational headquarters sent the first woman preacher to take her first church, the folks in that church should have stood up and said, "No, sir. This changes the boundary that has already been set in the Word of God. This is not going to work." But they didn't do that. They just accepted the changed boundary. And folks, I could go on and on for hours and hours tonight, giving all of you areas where the apostasy slowly dripped into the fabric of thousands of churches across this land. I could do that. But I think you get the point. And when that apostasy comes in, it does one thing. It kills. That's what it does. It destroys the soul winning. It destroys the bus ministry. It destroys the mission giving. It destroys the attendance. It does one thing. It destroys. I don't care if that apostasy comes through the music program. I don't care if it comes through the Bible translation. I don't care if it comes through the mindset of the people or the mindset of the preacher. If it comes in, mark it down. it's going to destroy that church. I've seen it, and so have you. You see, folks, it's still true. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Symbolically, the blood speaks of redemption through the Lord Jesus Christ. You take the blood out, and you take the life out. You see that? You take out the blood, you take out the life. And that's why there is no life in so many churches across this land. And that's why nobody gets saved and nobody goes soul winning. And the churches are just full of a bunch of mind-numbed robots that just go through the motion of having church. They have no walk with God, no power with God, and they really don't care. They really don't care. So they have to come up with something new. And in the last 10 years, here's the new thing. You see, all these denominational churches, they're all dying. I mean, they're holding on by a thread. And so here's what's happened. A bunch of young cool guys. They have all now decided that what we need to do is get a new movement going. And here's what they call it. They call it the emerging church. And their idea is they're going to emerge out of the old line churches. They're going to emerge out of that. And you've seen them popping up all over the country. We got a bunch of them here in Westminster. We got a bunch of them. And they're always crossing something. You know? There's always a point to life. The wind's blowing, you know? That's you'll find that in their names. You drive by and you see that in the names, you know what it is. Now you know what it is. And here's their philosophy. You see, they use this catchy little title that tries to trick you into thinking that you're not really going to a church. What are they doing? Changing the boundary. Changing the boundary. They will tell you up front that it's not their job to judge. Then they will tell you right up front that you can use whatever small B Bible you want to use. And they will tell you that instead of preaching the word and living by eternal biblical truth, you will be encouraged to share your feelings and determine your own way. And Jude says that this apostasy that will one day invade the church, and brethren, I'm here today to tell you, it already has. A bunch of spiritual creeps have turned the grace of God into lasciviousness, changing the boundary. You understand that? Now, second thing I want to say is this. All right, everybody focus. As the church goes, so goes the country. You want to know what's wrong with America? It's the church's fault. It's the preachers of America's fault. Dr. Hudson used to say all the time that this generation of saints is going to have to answer for this generation of sinners. And ma'am, we're here. The progressive left can try all they want. They can spin it any way they want to spin it. But you and I know, we've read it. This nation of ours was founded upon biblical principle. This nation of ours was founded on freedom of religion. This nation of ours was created and established upon the Judeo-Christian ethic. That ethic is woven into the founding documents of our country, and freedom and liberty and the right to life and the pursuit of happiness, all these wonderful things were purposely placed in our Constitution. It was not an accident that they were put there. But now we have a socialist who is changing the boundary. He's changing the boundary. And my dear friend, listen, as the church goes, so goes the country. Now, do you remember back in the 60s, those of you that were living back in the 60s? There was this woman by the name of Madeline Murray O'Hare Brain. And she decided that she was an atheist. And she decided that she was going to sue the United States government back in the 60s to get the Bible out of the public school system. How many of you remember, and you're going to date yourself here, how many of you remember going to public school when you were little and the teacher reading the Bible or praying in the classroom at the beginning of the day? How many of you remember that? I do too. I remember Miss Lancaster, she had a ruler laid on the end of that desk. And man, when that bell rang in the morning, if you weren't in your seat, she was standing at that door and she was putting you in your seat as quick as you could get there. And you didn't dare speak out of turn. You didn't dare, you didn't dare misbehave. Because if you did, you found out the business end of that yardstick meant business. And that dear old lady every morning would pull a drawer and take a big old King James Bible out, and we read the entire school year out of the Psalms. Second grade. And that dear old soul would read that psalm to us, and then she would comment on it. And I can remember her pointing that old long bony finger at us and saying, "Now, kids, this is the Word of God. This is what God has to say. And you need to do what God says. And right here, God says you're supposed to do this." But then I remember going to third grade. 1963. And Mrs. Melton, first day of class, we didn't pray. We didn't read the Bible. And I remember going home and telling my mom, she said, "How was school?" And I said, "It was different." Because we had moved from up Cold Fork Holler out to Cross Lanes. And I went to a new school. So first day, Mom wanted to know how it was. "How was school?" I said, "Well, it's different." She said, "Well, what do you mean?" I said, "Well, Mom, nobody read the Bible to us today." And my mom got on the phone and she called the school and wanted to know why Mrs. Melton did not read the Bible in the class. And my mom was told that you weren't allowed to do that anymore. You couldn't do that anymore. You know, that really hadn't worked out too good. I remember Miss Lancaster was standing there with that yardstick in her hand. Now, when you go into class, you go in the doors in most schools in the cities, you got to go through a metal detector. And there are security guards standing there. I wonder, had we kept the Bible in school, would not our schools be a little bit better off? I think they would. I think they would. But the boundary line was changed. Then we had Roe v. Wade come along. You know, not that changing the boundary on the Bible wasn't enough. Then we got Roe versus Wade. And you know, the sad thing of it is, when they took the Bible out of the schools, the churches were silent. As go the churches, so go the nation. Why were the churches silent? Because way before they ever took the Bible out of the schools, these creeps had taken the Bible out of the churches. And so by the time they went to get the Bibles out of the school, you had a bunch of apostates in the church, and they had no clue what was going on. Not a clue. The boundary was changed, and nobody cared. Then Roe versus Wade came along, and there was not enough life in the churches of America to stop that madness. And now millions of babies have been denied constitutional right to life because a bunch of anti-God, anti-Bible activists have changed the boundary. And our current president has decided he doesn't like what America used to be. So he's just now changing the boundary, what seems like every day. He's changing it as he sees fit. And you and I need not be duped into how he is doing this evil work. Let me tell you something, folks. Inspired by the God of this world, led by the host of hell, led by an evil, corrupt media, led by Hollywood and primetime network television and all the things that you and your children are bombarded with on a daily basis, all of it working together under the devil's inspiration to slowly numb your senses into just sitting back and taking, with your mouth closed, the ruination of America. I'm telling you, folks, this administration is changing the boundary. It is not enough that they just bombard our kids through television with their philosophy and through movies with their philosophy. But now they have put a new curriculum into the public school system called Common Core. Common Core. And they're starting them in preschool. And this curriculum is training them to be little lambs that follow them and think like them and do what they want and think like they want them to think. I tell you, I would never, I'm going to get letters on this, but I've gotten letters before, and I'll get letters in the future. I would never put my children or my grandchildren in the public school system in Maryland. Never. You just might as well take them and strap T-bone steaks to them and take them out in Montana and put them on a hillside. The wolves are going to get them. The wolves are going to get them. Let me tell you something, folks. This administration continues to change the boundary. Obama is not using the Congress, but by divine fiat, like he's king, like he's dictator, using his pen and his phone, sets policy and establishes law that is nothing less than moving the boundary. Moving the boundary. And you mark it down. The next thing on the agenda, they tried guns. Man, they tried hard on guns. But America stood up to the gun thing. And they've kind of backed off on that. Now they're going to do it through Obamacare. I went to my doctor Thursday. Everything's fine, by the way. Still shaking his head. He said, man, your blood pressure's even good. I said, well, praise the Lord. And that little gal said, here, I want to give you a sheet to fill out. And down at the bottom it said, do you have any guns in the house? So I wrote, none of your business. 3 exclamation points. None your business. No, sir. They try. They're still after guns. They're going to do it through Obamacare. They're going to do it through backdoor legislation. But now the focus is gay marriage. Gay marriage. And what are they doing? They're trying to move the boundary. Legalizing marijuana. I mean, it's not enough that we're a drunk nation. Now the devil wants us all to be a high nation. You see, a drunk nation and a high nation is not going to listen to God. A drunk nation and a high nation is not going to follow the Bible. Started with taking the Bible out of schools, then abortion, guns, legalizing marijuana, and now this homosexual thing is being just forced upon us. And again, they're moving the boundary. What's the boundary say? Here's what the boundary says. It's an abomination. Now, some of you just gasped when I said that. I can't believe he said that in public. I said it on the internet. I don't care. Truth's the truth. He said, well, that'll shut you down. That's a battle I'm willing to fight. God says it's an abomination. God says it's not natural. God says the family is one man and one woman and children born of that marriage. And now O'Malley and states all over the country are saying, we don't like that. So we're going to change the boundary. Fooey on what God says. We don't care what the Bible says. We don't believe the Bible anyway. And we don't even believe in the God of the Bible. So we're going to pass our laws that say gay marriage is legal. And if you don't like it, we'll just shut you down. And folks, you make no mistake about it. Their goal is to make gay marriage acceptable everywhere. Jan Brewer, governor of Arizona, just vetoed a law in Arizona that the legislature passed, which said if you own a business and you have religious convictions about dealing with sodomites, that is your right and privilege to deny them business. And she vetoed it. States pass laws against homosexual marriage, and some liberal judge appointed by Obama overturns it. And the whole thing that they are after for is to change the boundary on marriage, which is right here in the book, and make homosexuality acceptable. And my friends, you mark my word. You mark my word. What's today? March something? Second. March the 2nd at 7:22. Pastor Norris said, if the Lord tarries his coming. If the Lord tarries his coming. The government is going to force churches to perform and accept gay marriage. Now you mark my word. That's the goal. And if you refuse, you'll be stripped of your tax-exempt status as a church, and you won't be able to make it. That's the goal. And I want you to also remember that on March the 2nd, 2014, at 7:23, Pastor Norris said, I will never, 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 never approve, never endorse, never support, or never perform a gay wedding in the Church of the Open Door. I won't do it anywhere else either. I won't allow any of my staff to do it. They can change the boundary all they want, and I will not cross over the boundary of the Bible and compromise where God says, don't do it. Amen. Never going to happen. Now, old Jude, bless his heart, I really think in verse 3, his intent was to write a glowing expose of the common salvation. I'd much rather preach salvation message, come on, let's attack hell with a squirt gun type message. The Lord's coming back. I'd much rather preach on that. But man, somebody's got to stand up and ring a bell every now and then. And old Jude decided he was going to ring the bell. And what I want you to see, folks, is what the condition this world is in. It's not an accident. God knew that the devil was going to do this. And God knew that these creeps would come in. And that one by one, churches would be picked off. One by one. Here, one there. You know, I remember in 1981, the Swiss Methodist Church in Swiss, West Virginia. The pastor over there came over and visited me when I was at Bell Creek Baptist Church and welcomed me into the community. And he said, we're having a spring revival, and I would like for you to preach on Friday night. Would you do that? I said, sir, I'm going to have to get back with you on that. Everything I was taught in college said no. And today, if I was asked, I'd probably say no. But I called him back. I said, I'll come. And I went over there and I preached my liver out. And we had a time. I mean, we had a time. And when we had revival meeting, that old man would come and sit in our church and say amen. Sad. Sad what's become of our churches today. And I want you folks to realize it's not an accident. The devil knew what he was doing. Now, stand. You just got to stand. I mean, I don't care what they do down Washington, we got to stand. I don't care what they do in Annapolis, we've just got to stand. Right here is the boundary. And you just got to stand where God has drawn the line. Jude said it was coming. Well, folks, it's here. So let's stand for God.